You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with farmers for over 100 years to advance agriculture and farming as a way of life. ADM, resourceful by nature. Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 22nd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you today live from the Mid-American Growers Greenhouses outside of Granville, Illinois, near the Illinois River and Interstate 80 at the intersection of I-39 next to La Salle, Peru. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. And hey, don't forget that we always talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City on Wednesday afternoons. That happens at just after the bottom of the hour, right here on your Information Advantage, AM 580. Checking in on the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange for Wednesday afternoon, wheat futures at the board finished like this. The soft red winter wheat December contract at 486 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter today. March futures at 506 and a quarter, and they finished up 4 and a half. The corn futures December contract 362 and three quarters, up 1 and 1/2, and the March contract at 378 and a quarter, and they finished a penny higher for the day. May futures in the corn pit at 383 and a quarter, up 3 cents. July at 385 and three quarters were up 4 and 1/2. Soy complex now. Bean futures, January's 674, up a penny. March contract at 683 and three quarters. The March soybeans up 1/2 cent. And the May futures at 696 and a quarter, up a penny. July at 703 and three quarters. And they finished 1 cent higher. Over at the Mercantile Exchange this afternoon, January feeder cattle at 99.20, up 42 and a half. December live cattle at 87.75, or down 12 and a half. And the live hog futures finished the December contract at $62.20. They were off 15 cents for the afternoon. Time now to talk with Paul Cooley on a Wednesday afternoon of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Tip of the hat to you, Todd, on this beautiful day. And also, you did a superb job of hosting the program on Commodity Outlook at the Illinois Commodity Classic in Bloomington, Illinois. And I did notice how popular you are with your fellow ag broadcasters. And, you know, it's a real tribute to see that popularity, and you did a marvelous job yesterday.
As you did as well at the Illinois Commodity Conference, of course, you and Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, along with some other folks were available to help us out. Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services on the commodity panel at the Illinois Commodity Conference, and we appreciate all those people who stuck around yesterday afternoon to talk with us and ask some questions about the marketplace. But we weren't the only ones that were moving yesterday, Paul. In fact, Dave Dickey and company were out last night in Monticello for an Ag Outlook panel there. So the meeting season has kicked off. And by the way, if you're wanting one of those WILL Ag Outlook panels to come, just contact Dave or I. You can write us an email at ag@will.uiuc.edu. Those, of course, are on the website. Or you can call the radio station and ask for Dave Dickey, and we'll get one of those ag panels set up for you. Let's talk about the marketplace just a little bit. And I want to start not with what happened with the commodity markets today, Paul, but with a question that you had me ask yesterday afternoon on the amount of acres that were expected to switch. There were probably a couple hundred folks in the room, and we asked them if they were going to stay the same, how many would plant 10% more, how many planted 20% more, and there was one gentleman that was planning on planting at least 30%, between 20 and 30% more. Did it surprise you the way that broke out, and can you give kind of an estimate of how it did?
Well, you know, and I wrote it down this morning, I said basically 40% unchanged, 30% had 10% or more, 10% had 20%, 5%, 30%, 5%, maybe 40 to 50% more acreage. Todd, you know, this is one of the biggest questions that we have in the agricultural trading world is what this corn acreage is going to be in the Midwest. John Deere supposedly had one out this morning saying 7% larger, very close to what Informa Sparks Group have had. And, of course, Daryl mentioned and very eloquently saying, you know, the biggest raise we've had in near term was 3.5 million acres one time. And this is basically pushing agriculture to new heights, and it's not going to be done with any new CRP acres coming out, conservation reserve acres. This is, you know, basically changing the corn-soybean mix, and it is exciting to see how these numbers unfold and into the marketplace.
Tell me about the market, speaking of that, for today. I see and I haven't really watched the market very much because I've been on the road a lot.
Basically, in the nearby, was up a penny and a half at 362 and three quarters, up one and a half. The Dease corn, 351 and a quarter, up five and three quarters. We did see Prudential sell basically 1,000 contracts of July corn and bought new Dease on a spread. The question mark is, of course, Argentina is seeing some very dry weather. There is this question mark about the acreage. Is it going to be enough with this tremendous ethanol demand? And also, it's dry in the winter wheat growing areas. We saw July wheat rally 487, up 12.5, and the December settle at 486 and a quarter, up 6.5. So we did see bear spreading going on in the corn and the wheat market, and there is some weather concerns in Argentina, and of course it's dry in those big growing areas of the hard red winter wheat in the west, and of course the crop ratings will probably drop again next week.
Would you see that, and I guess I'm thinking about this last week, the deferred December or next year's December contract lost about 17 cents to the nearby contract or the old crop. This week it's making some of that ground up, and in a couple of days I think it's made up maybe about 7 cents of it. Is that a good sign for the long term for the marketplace?
Well, we really lean a little more the bull spreads will ultimately work. And one factor that encouraged the nearby to sell off a little bit was crude oil is down about 93 cents as of this time frame now. And crude oil broke, and then we saw this liquidation. And, of course, it's been noted that a Chinese corn sweetener company is going to import some corn into China. They did some a year ago, obviously testing the qualities of U.S. corn. And they liked what they saw, and there's indications that they'll buy some U.S. corn for this year, which is just, you know, quite the good news item, and it was one factor. We did see the white corn was higher in early morning trade, as much as 2 and 3 cents.
Let's take a moment to define something, a term very quickly, so that everybody knows where we're at. We've talked about bull and bear spreads today, but if you could define the bull spread, I bet everybody will understand what a bear spread is.
Well, a bear spread is when you sell the nearby and buy the deferred, and a bull spread is when you buy the front end and sell the deferred, and we even go so far as to say is buying the bull spread sometimes means not only in the year spread, but also calendar spreads, old crop, new crop, and those work sometimes very well. And in this environment, we think that, you know, the corn crop's going to be smaller, demand's going to be good, and ultimately we will see old crop corn gain in relationship to new, because, you know, if we do get more acres, if we do have a good growing year, then that's a factor. And, of course, we have to make sure we have enough corn carryover September 1st, October 1st to make everything happen.
So it's really the nearbys that farmers are looking at more often than not that help
That's
them
right.
make the decision about how many acres they're putting in the ground, but it's the new crop that is setting their price, and so they have to be ready. They have to be aware of that because they're making a decision on one contract when really they're going to make sales based off of the other.
And, you know, it's a balancing act to bid the price up enough to get enough corn acres, but not bid it up too much to get too many acres, and, you know, that was brought out. And also we have this bidding war between new crop corn and new crop soybean acres, and that's also a bid war that's fun to watch and makes the commodity world a little very exciting now.
Soybeans gaining about a penny and a half for the day. As you take a look at that market, is it just a follower and waiting as a bidding war, or is there something underneath this? You've talked about biodiesel before. Are there other things that we might be watching as a fundamental in this marketplace?
Well, you know, the arithmetic is that if we have 6 million more acres of corn, we'll probably have 5-plus million acres less soybeans in the United States, and that's a plus sign. And we also know that the Brazilians are going to plant 3-5% less soybean acres than they did last year. Their input availability because of their economic problems with their economy and also with the farmers, their inputs such as lime and fertilizer was reduced. Fertilizer really what makes the soybean crop big and healthy in South America. And as a result of that, we do look for the world supply of soybeans to drop. In the meantime, the good news is that the demand seems to be improving, and demand for soybean meal and soybean oil seems to be great. The Chinese seem to be buying our U.S. soybeans at a very rapid rate. The excitement here is that it's also a renewable energy product, with, as you mentioned, with the soybean oil. And it's a pretty exciting time in the fact that we're basically going to get the supply-demand balance back into some pretty good ratio maybe next year. It's a little out of line now, but the verdict is out just how much demand is. And also the crush margins seem to be good to excellent here because it's very profitable to buy a soybean, process it into soybean oil and soybean meal.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us today.
Have a profitable day, and nice talking to you.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Agricultural programming on WILL made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for more than 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. At the bottom of the hour, make sure you stay with us when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Of course, we're coming to you today live from Granville, Illinois, where Monty Flack joins us. He's with Mid-American Growers. There are 63 acres of greenhouse outside of Granville, Illinois, that belong to Mid-American Growers. Monty Flack is in charge of a lot of poinsettias. Monty, come over here. Nice turkey. Monty's got a turkey hat on. He's ready for Thanksgiving. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for hosting us today. We sure appreciate it. We came up. We asked Monty if we could come up and videotape for Illinois Gardener, which is on Channel 12, and for my television programming, which is on Channel 12, and several other channels from University of Illinois Extension. Monty, thanks for your hospitality today.
Thanks a lot. You guys are wonderful.
Monty, tell me about poinsettias at Mid-American Growers and what you have here, where they're shipped to, how many, those kinds of things.
We have about 1 million poinsettias right here at this facility. At least at one time we did. Currently, as of the day before Thanksgiving, we've got about a third of our crop has been shipped out. We got two-thirds that are waiting. It's going to go out right after Thanksgiving.
So there are a lot of poinsettias here. You've got a specialty, and people might be able to recognize this from time to time, especially in the Chicagoland area, and we do have some listeners up at the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and closer to there. You put together what's called a poinsettia tree, and if you get one of these and you've purchased it, there are only about 700 of them out of that 1 million poinsettias that come out of Mid-American Growers. What is it?
It's a poinsettia that I actually got started at the end of May, the first part of June. I grow it up as a central stock, and then I put a pinch on it, and in the end it's going to end up looking just like a tree, like an oak or a maple tree that you have out in your yard, but it's a poinsettia. It's red, and I have some white ones too.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing poinsettia trees for about 10 years, but I've been here at the greenhouse for 15.
Tell me about Mid-American. What other kinds of things do they do beyond poinsettias, because, of course, the greenhouses are filled at this point with poinsettias, but there are a lot of other plants that the Mid-American Growers puts out, and where do they ship them to?
Okay, well, after the poinsettias are shipped, then we move into Easter lilies for the Easter time, and then kind of as the spring starts to progress, then we are growing more bedding plants like begonias, geraniums, impatiens. And then we also ship out within a 200 to 300 mile radius of our facility here at Granville.
Of course, the green industry is one of the fastest and largest growing sectors of agriculture in the state of Illinois. And our own Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences Department on campus is involved in that. as well as a few other folks like Diane Nolan, who our listeners and viewers of TV at Channel 12 might be familiar with, from the Illinois Gardener Program. Diane managed to come along with us for this ride today. Thanks, Diane. We appreciate you being here.
Ooh, I wouldn't have missed it. I have never seen a million poinsettias in one place in my whole life. It's beautiful here.
Tell me about it, in fact. Can you describe what it looks like?
Well, if you can imagine a 33-acre field of corn, translate that to 33 acres of poinsettias under glass, several different bisecting, and they have the ebb and flood system here that waters them underneath, and all these wonderful moving benches, and the color is just all pervasive. It's beautiful. It's really, really wonderful. And we've had a great time with Monty.
Yeah, we have. Monty, you have been magnificent, by the way. Monty Flack, if you have the opportunity for some reason and you're in the area, you might want to just stop by and say hi to Monty, because he can tell you a lot about the green industry and about what's happening here.
Something I wanted to tell the listeners is we saw the poinsettia painting line, which is new to me, and they take these white snow-capped, I believe it's snow-capped, poinsettias, and they have four or five people from different angles, and they have a blue coloring, and then they have also fuchsia and lilac, and they spray them very well done with a little bit of dark and light colors, and they let it set for a day, and then they come through with a adhesive and then put glitter on them. So that's really the trendy thing in the last several years.
Yeah, and that one too, Monty, is a pretty specialized. We've got a million that we have in the greenhouse. There are 700 trees, and there are not many of these painted that go out either.
I heard that there's 70 to 100,000 that are going to get painted right here at this facility. And they started painting last week, and they're going to be painting all the way up until next week, I believe.
Yeah, watching this crew paint is pretty amazing. It only takes them about a minute to paint a tray full, and what we figured that was 70?
It's over 100 poinsettias.
So 100 poinsettias. They have a conveyor belt, and they put the poinsettia on one end, and it starts down a 20-foot conveyor belt or so with, I think, six or seven guys along it, and each sprays just a little bit of the top of that on the brack. By the time it gets to the other end, it is just gorgeous. They start out as white, and they finish up in all kinds of color, including one extra color. What's the name of the blue?
The blue? Fighting a lion eye blue. That's correct.
I don't think that's official. I don't think that's the official name, but Monty came up with that a little earlier. I can't believe that you didn't remember that it was fighting a lion eye blue. You can open that door if you want. It's a little stuffy in here. We're in a fairly small office space here at Mid-American, but that may be the only thing that's small about this greenhouse. Hey, Diane, tell me about your program and where they'll be able to see a little bit more from here, because we have not only the videographer that comes along with me, Steve Parker, but we have Henry Radcliffe, who shoots the Illinois Gardener program for you, and so we'll both be putting this together as a piece that folks will be able to watch on television. When does Illinois Gardener air?
Every week except for Thanksgiving, we air live Thursdays at 7 p.m., and then the re-air, and it's taped and re-aired every Saturday at 11. It'll probably be 2 weeks before this show is put together, and we'll have it, and you'll see the unbelievable amount of poinsettias. We were just driving around you have to drive, it's such a large place, with our mouths open. It was just so pretty. So probably in about 2 weeks, the first or so, second week maybe of December, on Illinois Gardener, Thursday night, 7 p.m.
Tell me about some of the rest of the plants that you have here, and where do you ship? I don't think we talked about the Walmarts and the Lowe's and where these poinsettias go to, and then some of the bedding plants that come out later in the year. So where will the 1 million poinsettias go to, and geographically, how wide an area does Mid-American growers ship to?
Well, it's a 200 to 300 mile shipping radius. We like our trucks to leave and come back in the same day. It means we ship a lot of our product to a central hub of Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Des Moines, and Milwaukee, right within that area.
And tell me about the other plants. I know we talked about poinsettias and then about the Easter lilies, but there are a lot of other plants that are here already, and during parts of the season, this whole place has to be filled up, I assume. And right now you've got 33 acres of 62 under glass for the greenhouses that are filled with poinsettias. But just after the first of the year, you'll start filling it up again with all kinds of things.
All kinds of bedding plants, plants like fuchsias, begonias, geraniums, impatiens, plants of all different colors, shapes, and sizes. And we'll fill up every nook and cranny of this greenhouse. We'll have poinsettias, plants hanging from the roof in hanging baskets. We'll be filled up. We'll definitely have a lot of product out here in this greenhouse.
By the way, we wanted to, and Diane, you might not like this, but Diane, you managed to teach during school. Monty, is that right? Were you student and teacher? Is that correct?
I'm a U of I graduate, and Diane was one of my professors during my tenure at the U of I in Champaign-Urbana.
Now, I must admit, Monty, that Diane remembered you and knew who you were on the way up, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, we remember our students. That's correct. And Monty was, you know, he was extra special. But he took my herb class. So I don't know. Do you grow herbs here?
We do grow some herbs in the spring. It's not a real big market for us, but we do have some herbs. Last year we had some, and I'm sure we're going to have some more this spring as well.
Well, Monty Flack and Diane Nolan, we appreciate you being with us on the Closing Market Report to talk about one of the sectors we don't talk to about very often, but very important in the state of Illinois and the state of agriculture, which is the background and backbone of this state and its number one industry and number one around the nation. Thanks much. We appreciate it. And thank you, Monty, so much for having us not once here, but twice this season. We do appreciate you taking care of us. Thanks much. Monty Flack, of course, is a grower here at Mid-American Growers, and Diane Nolan teaches horticulture at the University of Illinois. Time now to talk about the cash grain, and we're joined on this Wednesday afternoon by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay. Good afternoon to you.
Well, hello to you too, Todd.
Hey, it is a magnificent, beautiful, sunshiny day, and it is really awe-inspiring here in the northern part of the state of Illinois at Mid-American Growers with all these poinsettias, and hopefully you'll be able to get one of those for Christmas, and it will go along with higher prices for farmers. How's the basis levels holding up to your shipping to the southeast and to the that part of the world?
The southeast user is still kind of hand-to-mouth, Todd. In the last 2 weeks, we've probably improved train values just on the spot market, maybe 4 to 5 cents. The far-out values still are kind of stagnant because, like I say, they're just kind of doing hand-to-mouth. And because, you know, this is all new to us. This is a whole new ball game, and who knows where this basis level is going to go. But for right now, farmer selling has backed off. They're pretty comfortable with their sales. They're getting in a holiday mode. But here again, like I say, spot train values just continue to improve a little bit all the time. And speaking of prices, I just thought I'd tell you, I looked back a year ago. Corn was $1.75. We're double that today, and beans were $5.46, so I thought I'd just kind of throw that out there today as well.
Indeed. Do you remember how far under you might have been?
I didn't even look at the basis level. I apologize that, but I would say we were probably 35 to 40 under in corn and probably about as much in beans. So the basis levels are this year are just no comparison to what they have been the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you may as well give us those numbers. How far, what is the basis there at your area?
We are 13 under on corn today, and our, like I say, we're 350, and beans were 36 under the January, we're 638, and new crop wheat were 75 under the July at 412.
We appreciate you being with us today, Kay.
Thank you, Todd. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too, Kay, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, and it is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, you can call 217-383-4606. I'll be back in just about 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Champaign County board members have approved the first pay raise for themselves in 20 years. The county board voted last night to raise the per diem for attending board and committee meetings to $100 per meeting, up from the current $45. Champaign County officials say the old per diem is substantially less than what county board members get in neighboring counties. The increase takes effect December 1st of 2008, after that year's elections. In western Indiana, a 20-year member of the Tippecanoe County Police Merit Board was arrested as part of a sex sting at a Lafayette area park. Sheriff Smokey Anderson says he's asked 69-year-old Charles Bob Best to resign from the board following his arrest. A total of 17 men were arrested in the sting. Low water levels are causing safety concerns along the Mississippi River, where sharp limestone rock juts up from the river bottom. The Army Corps of Engineers today says it plans to remove rock in about 270 locations between Chester, Illinois, and Cape Girardeau, Missouri. A timeline for the work has not been set. 20 years of efforts have failed to rid downtown Springfield of its bird problem. Now the Springfield City Council is turning to a Decatur man known for being a bird whisperer. Springfield has approved spending $164,000 to hire James Soles of Soles Bird Repellent Company. For 5 days, a steady stream of combines and semis rolled in to harvest George Muck's 1,000-plus acres of beans and corn in northern Illinois. After the 68-year-old farmer died in a farming accident in September, his family was left with the enormous task of finishing his fields in addition to their own in Boone County. When friends, business associates, and family initially offered a hand, the Mucks politely declined. But help came anyway. The volunteers used their own combines and transport vehicles, and they came during the busiest time of year without being asked. George Muck's widow, Suzette, says the outpouring of help really touched the family, and she says son Dale Muck told her his father would have loved it. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, coming to you today from the Mid-American Growers Greenhouses, where they have 62 acres under glass outside of Granville, Illinois. If you've got an internet connection, I'm telling you now, go and visit maps.google.com and see if you can find the greenhouses. Hit the satellite photo, and you'll see those greenhouses. It's a magnificent view, even from space. Joining us now, speaking of people that look down from space from time to time to see what's happening around the globe, is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for not saying speaking of spacey people.
Well, I wouldn't do that because I know, Drew, that you're not spacey and that you cover the weather as well as anybody does. Tell me about agriculture weather across the globe. What have you been watching?
Well, we're watching hard red wheat country here in the U.S. That's the first issue. Most of the hard red wheat country is actually doing all right, but there's a lot of nervousness in the marketplace right now because of these short-ending stocks that we have around the world. There is definitely a drier bias out there in wheat country. There's a definite need for significant precipitation across portions of Texas and Oklahoma. Further to the north, our soil temperatures have drifted cool enough that some of those crops have actually slipped into semi-dormancy, and that's even with the current 60 and 70-degree temperatures that are occurring out that way. Over the next week to 10 days, we're going to do a lot of flip-flopping around with those temperatures. We're going to see some days that are well above normal on those average readings, and then we're going to also see temperatures that are going to be a little bit on the cooler than normal side. So between that and the fact that we have a limited amount of moisture in the soil, the odds are real good that this crop is going to be semi-dormant and probably not likely to be seriously impacted by the drier bias. El Nino years tend to bring us a good precipitation in the late winter and early spring months, and if that is true this time around, the drier bias we have right now will be pretty much an insignificant event as long as we don't experience a winter kill situation during the colder weeks ahead.
And can you talk a little bit about South America for me?
Yep, the situation down there is quite good right now. I think most of Argentina is looking at a pretty good environment for reproducing of winter wheat, which is underway in Buenos Aires. We're also looking at some fine planting conditions across the majority of that country in the form of corn and sorghum as well as early soybeans now. The dryness that we talked about in previous weeks in west-central portions of Argentina has largely been diminished. With the exception of one state, which is Santiago del Estero, it still has a drier bias, but the majority of Argentina is looking at very good conditions right now. In Brazil, it's also a fairly good situation. We've actually created a little bit of a dryness issue on a very small portion of Brazil's crop region from western Sao Paulo back to Mato Grosso. These are important oilseed producing areas now. It looks very good right now that we're going to run into some rain this weekend. and that should fill in the gap. So I think for the most part, the Brazil crop will stay in excellent condition, even though we do have some moisture shortages right now to deal with.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us today.
Well, have a good Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too, Drew. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving. You have a good Thanksgiving. We'll be off the air tomorrow and returning with a light agricultural schedule on Friday to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday with our families. During the Closing Market Report on Friday, we'll air Commodity Week. That has been recorded already, so you won't hear your regular slate of analysts. We talked with Dan Bossi at Bag Resource while we were in Kansas City last week. It was a really good conversation. I hope you can tune in either at 2:06 on Friday afternoon. Dan will air during that Closing Market Report, and we'll air him again during our regular Commodity Week session on Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. Have a good holiday season and a great Thanksgiving. I'm Todd Gleason.